Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Tuesday. Come on in, stay a while. The great Pat McAfee is going to join us coming up. Rich Eisen from the NFL Network will stop by as well. Sign up for the newsletter. It is great. Every single day, recap the show. We got some, you get a heads up before everybody else with the new t-shirts we have, all the other things that we have on danpatrick.com. And it doesn't cost you anything to sign up for the newsletter. 65,000 of you receive it every single day. The Dan Patrick Show newsletter, available daily, comes out at 6 Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Sign up, go to danpatrick.com. Just put your email address in the box that slides out. Bottom right corner, you're good to go. Stat of the day, as always, brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Spent a lot of time in the first hour talking about Deshaun Watson. While I don't like the conclusion, I don't like the verdict, I understand it, having read the 15-page summary. The conclusion, and here's part of what the judge said in the conclusion. The NFL may be a forward-facing organization, but it's not necessarily a forward-looking one. Just as the NFL responded to violent conduct after a public outcry, so it seems the NFL was responding to yet another public outcry about Mr. Watson's conduct. At least in the former situation, the policy was changed and applied proactively. Here, the NFL is attempting to impose a more dramatic shift in its culture without the benefit of fair notice to and consistency of consequence for those in the NFL subject to Policy 51. Looking at the record when compared to the relevant precedent and looking forward to how this disciplinary determination might be used in the future, I find the most appropriate landing place to be as follows. And that, of course, was six games and no fine. Read it if you can. It's 15 pages, and you can see what she started with and what she ended with. Do I like six games? No, I do not. Do I think he should be out for the entire season? I do. But she's using precedent. She's using history. She's using Zeke Elliott. She's using Ben Roethlisberger. These were all things that I was told before this started that she would be factoring in. And that's exactly what she did. Albert Breer, the Monday morning quarterback, joined us in the first hour, and he said there was an offer that was made. 12 games, $10 million fine. Deshaun Watson's side, his lawyer, said no. they were willing to take a chance. And I was told that they were emboldened after the hearing that they felt like this might be even less than six games. That's how confident they were. And she's looking at a first-time offender. Although I would argue this, it feels like you're a first-time offender with the first woman, but you're not a first-time offender with the second or third or fourth. But this is the first case, and you're presenting it as four people. But to me, that feels like it's not a first offense if it happened again and again and again and again. But that's where we stand. Right now, the question is, what's the commissioner do? Does he want to just say, look, I tried. This is the process. We agreed to the process. And although we disagree with this, we will abide by what the judge has ruled. This is on Roger Goodell. Nobody else. You'll forget the judge's name in a month. It won't matter. But Roger Goodell, what he does will matter to a lot of people. He's the face of the league. If the NFL appeals and the commissioner overturns, this could lead to Deshaun Watson actually playing in the opener against Carolina, because then Watson's side will probably file a lawsuit, and then maybe there's a temporary restraining order. Maybe the suspension is put on hold, and he'll be playing while the case is in court. That's a distinct possibility here. That would be worse, I think, for the NFL, if that were the case. All right. DraftKings sent me over Cleveland Browns win total over under this year. Now, we don't know what's going to happen with Watson, if it's just going to be six games. Could it be more? Fritzy, over under victories, according to DraftKings, Cleveland Browns this year.
I'm going to say 9.5.
9.5. We don't even need to go anyplace else. You're a winner. 9.5, Todd.
I'll take it.
Okay. Over under touchdown passes. Deshaun Watson. Todd, I'll start with you.
24.
Now keep in mind, six-game suspension. Seton O'Connor.
20.
Marv.
17.5.
Paulie.
19.5.
18.5.
The tie.
Well, you went over, Paul.
Those rules were not posted beforehand.
No, they were there. The independent arbitrator brought that up, and it's precedent setting. Mm-hmm. You're the winner, Marv. Congratulations. Browns are favored by one over Carolina to start the year. Just letting you know. Don't we have football coming up on Thursday night? Don't we have the home game?
Who's playing?
Raiders-Jags?
That is correct.
Oh, I got some bad news then. Trevor Lawrence not playing. He's a healthy scratch.
Oh, shocker.
Travis Etienne, the electric running back from Clemson who missed last year, also healthy scratch.
Okay.
Tune in.
All right. But see, I look at, when I see preseason games, it almost feels like it's Hard Knocks when they're playing a game. So you get to watch somebody try to make the team. Or you get to watch somebody who is not going to make the team by the way they played. But I look at it differently. Used to be, it would be like, the stars aren't playing. Okay, let me see who I know, and then let me see if I invest in that player. Like, wow, that guy's pretty good. And there are times when you'll see somebody and you go, oh, that's right, I remember him. Like Tyler Lockett. I remember him as a return guy at Kansas State. And I remember coming in the next day, there was preseason game, and I said to the Danettes, I said, this guy Tyler Lockett's going to be a star. Now, I don't know if he's a star, but he's a really good player. But I remember him being a kick returner at K-State. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. Although I probably picked out 10 other guys who I said were going to be stars, and they didn't turn out to be. We only remember the ones that actually happened. Like a freezing cold take, so I don't know. What's my worst?
Whiff?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't know if I could say freezing cold takes because I don't have takes. Like, I'd like to have an opinion. Hopefully it's thought out.
Isn't there a quarterback that you really loved? Like Washington?
Lamar Thomas at Virginia Tech. Was it Lamar? No, what am I? Logan Thomas.
Yes.
Big guy.
Yeah.
You loved him in college.
Yes, I did.
You loved Logan.
Yes, I did.
And I think you said something like he's going to be great in the NFL, but he actually became great as a tight end or very good at tight end.
Oh, I think I was even a step further. I think I said that he was my favorite for the Heisman Trophy. Yeah.
Well, that's different than saying he's going to be a star in the NFL.
Yeah, and then the fact that he got into the NFL and ended up, you know, being a pretty good tight end. I think he's still in the NFL. But, yeah, I whiffed on that one. Yeah, Paul.
He had a seven-year career at tight end, made a couple bucks.
Is he done?
Yeah. Well, no, I still have him on a roster.
Is he with Washington?
Yes.
Okay.
He might be the best quarterback.
Oh, wow.
No. Marvin!
Can't be saying that.
Marvin said it.
Got Carson Wentz there on the team.
There's a guy who I thought was going to be a Hall of Famer. Not good, but Hall of Famer. Byron Leftwich out of Marshall. And after his first year in the pros, like, this guy is on his way to the Hall of Fame.
Hmm.
And he just kind of cooled off. You know, I thought the other guy I loved, Tim Couch, when he joined the Browns, I thought he was cooking, even though the Browns weren't great.
I wonder how his career would have gone if he played for a little better team and they waited to put him in the starting lineup. Because I go back to David Carr, Derek's brother. He's as talented, you know, as I've seen at that position. And, you know, he ran for his life. I mean, Joe Burrow may be approaching those numbers, but nobody was sacked more. I think his first two or three years, most sacked quarterback in the history of the NFL. Kevin Stefanski, the Browns head coach, he had some comments, and he was talking about Deshaun Watson is working to better himself.
Deshaun has told you guys in a press conference, he's told me privately, he wants to be the best version of himself. I believe that wholeheartedly. He's working on that, and I'll let Deshaun at some point speak for himself.
Yeah, that's what I would be concerned with if I'm the Cleveland Browns. This isn't just, hey, here's the verdict. It's six games. It's what happens the next two, three, four, 5 years with Deshaun Watson. What kind of person is he? I get an idea of how he is as a quarterback. That really wasn't a concern. If you're in it for the long haul, I hope Deshaun Watson's getting some help here. Here's Kevin Stefanski saying that Watson will meet with the media soon.
Obviously, I know with this decision that there's a lot of questions that everybody has, and I think in due time Deshaun certainly will address those questions, but I think where we are in the process, that will happen.
And then he talked about the Cleveland Browns trying to work through this given the information they had.
I've tried to just be where my feet are and operate with the information that we have available to us. So, you know, this process is not my process. So it's agreed upon by the PA and the NFL, and all I can do is respect it.
Yeah, Kevin Stefanski has nothing really to say. Just like, hey, just let me know. Jacoby Brissett? Okay. How many games? Six. Okay. And then you get Deshaun Watson ready after that. Tom in Ohio. Hey, Tom, what's on your mind today?
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
I just have a little different take on what the entire decision is. I worked in union negotiations for about 10 years as a local president, and everything is negotiated, everything, between the union and the company, or in this case, the NFL. My contention is this judge's decision was never going to be a final decision to start with. This is just my opinion now. I think they have an agreement that Roger Goodell is they're going to appeal. Roger Goodell is going to make a 10-game, probably $10 million, what you've been talking about all along. And I think that's been agreed upon. He'll look like a bad guy, but he always looks like a bad guy. The union will be, you know, outraged and everything, but it'll go away at that point. I don't think you'll see a lawsuit or anything. I think Watson's team will agree, and I think that'll be the end of it. That's just my opinion.
All right. Well, thank you, Tom. Yeah, Paul.
It is interesting that the NFL did not match the post that the NFLPA did before the decision. We look forward to the decision tomorrow, and we'll stand by whatever the judge does. The NFLPA, I don't think they knew the exact number before the judge gave her ruling yesterday morning. But they said in a post the night before, they'll abide by ruling and will there be no appeal. The NFL didn't do that.
Well, I talked to a source yesterday morning, as you guys know, and I said, would the NFL Players Association have put out that memo saying we're going to abide by whatever the judge comes up with? If they thought it was going to be an indefinite suspension, you're not putting that out. But they knew that what the ballpark suspension was going to be. I don't know how they knew it, but they had an idea of where this was headed. Chris in L.A. Hi, Chris. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Dan. I'm a lawyer out here in California. I just want to say that lawyers, for advice and expectations, we rely on precedents. And so that's why I'm not surprised that that Deshaun Watson's camp was expecting six games. And that's what the judge probably sounds like she relied on as well, and that's precedents. And one other thing, the process itself has been up to review, and it's not uncommon to have a independent judge listen to all the evidence, make a ruling, and then it ultimately go up to someone else to make the final decision. That happens in California all the time with California teachers having their licenses suspended or revoked. There's an actual judge, and it's like a hearing, actual trial. And then that judge issues a proposed decision, which goes up to a board. And then the board says, yes, we agree with it, and imposes that discipline. Or the board says, no, we don't like the discipline that you have put forth, judge. And they send it back down and tell them to do it again.
Yeah, but this is something that was agreed upon. Like the commissioner, if you're going to agree to this and say we have an independent arbitrator, then let that person do his or her job. Because why even, like, it almost seems like it's a faux process here. Is this the person that you want making the ruling, looking at both sides, being fair? Right? I mean, that's the situation. That it'd be like you go in for salary arbitration, and then all of a sudden you go, we don't like that, we want to change what your decision is. Well, it's salary arbitration. This is what they came up with. Yes, Eden.
I'm not sure what the solution is.
I don't think that the commissioner should have the final say if you're going to bring this judge in. Like, if I'm the judge, like, I don't want you second guessing. If you want me to do it, I'm going to look at both sides. I'm neutral, and I'm going to be fair with what my decision is. The commissioner can't come in and go, you know, I don't like that. I mean, he can, but I don't think that he should.
Well, isn't that the position now that it's sort of he's being put in, right? He can either take what this independent arbitrator says, I think that this is fair based on precedent, right? Based on what you've done in the past.
Yes.
I think that this is fair.
Yeah.
And now you can either choose to take what I believe is a fair ruling or be unfair.
Well, Albert Breer talked about, you know, the public reaction to this, and that the NFL is probably monitoring social media. Yes, Eden.
I think in some ways what the judge is kind of doing, because she does say in there that, like, this type of behavior is unprecedented in terms of what the NFL has ever dealt with,
yeah.
And that she says it. I have to paraphrase a little bit, but she said it seems reasonable that a more severe penalty should be enforced, but given what the history of the NFL and what their rules state, this is what she believes is fair. It's almost like the judge is sort of throwing into the NFL's court and Roger Goodell's putting in front of their table, like on the table there for them, you need to change your policies again.
Going forward, you need
to update your policies to address certain things. And I think that that's sort of being lost in the messaging a little bit, and that you guys, this, the way you have this, it's not set up to handle this type of situation, and you need to address your policies, change them to address these situations.
Yeah, we can't rely on her to change the policies that have been in place and the precedent that's been set. And that's what I think people are going, well, you should have given him a year. Okay, I'm just factoring in what you guys have done with Zeke Elliott and Ben Roethlisberger. These are your decisions. We'll talk to Pat McAfee. We'll lighten the mood a little bit with McAfee. He'll join us coming up next, back after this Dan Patrick Show. Summer is in full swing. and the temperatures across the country really high, and you're looking for something to wear, you're going to go play golf, go to the beach, backyard barbecue, are you cool? Cool looking. Are you cool feeling? Have you thought about Linksol? They have a fabric specifically designed to be moisture wicking and quick drying. And they use laser technology to add precision cut perforations to give you the maximum airflow. And nobody needs airflow more than Fritzy does.
That is true.
Boardwalker AC short, the Saturday workout short, even the classic chino. The AC technology comes in every style that you need. Temperatures aren't coming down anytime soon. That doesn't mean you have to sacrifice your comfort. When you're moving around, having a great time this summer, Linksol's Boardwalker AC collection keeps you cool everywhere you go. See the entire summer collection. Linksol.com. That's Linksol.com. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Papi.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner, homie.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season. And guess what? So are we. Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Style runs in the family. Athleticism runs in the family. Extraordinary runs in the family. 2022 Mercedes-Benz range of SUVs. Learn more at MBUSA.com or test drive one at your local dealer. He used to kick footballs. Now he kicks ass. He's Pat McAfee, host of the Pat McAfee Show, along with A.J. Hawk on YouTube and SiriusXM, the former punter for the Colts. More likely to get injured punting or being a combatant in WWE?
Hey, Dan, thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
Thanks for always being a trailblazer. You know, I mean, you're such a smooth talking guy and you have such a big brain. Like whenever you did that read for Link Soul before you went to break there, I was on here. I was like, damn, I need that stuff. You know what I mean? Like I was like, dang, I need some Link Soul. And did you say laser fitted some sort of thing in that hole? I'm like, damn, I need Link Soul. And then you just cut a promo for Benzo there on the other side. I'm like, oh, I think we need to buy a machine. You're costing me a lot of money, Dan. It's because of how good you are at your job. So I appreciate the invite. Anytime Fritzy's name pops up on my cell phone, I get excited because obviously we take great pride in the fact that we're in this daily sports talk world and you're obviously a pioneer of it. So thank you for the invite here. With that being said, almost died a couple of times at SummerSlam on Saturday, Dan. That's and I've never almost died punting. So I would go with SummerSlam and WWE as opposed to punting, but both certainly a lot of fun, a blast in high anxiety situations.
But if I talk to you at 12, do you want to be a punter or would you want to be in WWE?
WWE, for sure. I never wanted to be a punter. I mean, obviously, nobody – you fall to punter, Dan. I mean, we all know that. You know, you've never went up to a kid and said, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they say, like astronaut or a cop or a fireman or a baseball player or football player. Nobody goes, I want to be a punter in the NFL. Because if you have dreams or aspirations of being a punter, you probably kick the hell out of a football or a ball. Yeah. So you probably want to be a soccer player, you know? And if you're in a wide receiver or a quarterback or a tight end that inevitably ends up being a punter, that's because your team told you, like, hey, this position ain't going to work for you. You should probably go try fourth downs and punting balls. So at 12, definitely want to be a WWE superstar. My entire life, I wanted to be a WWE superstar. That's really the longest dream I've ever had. Getting to play in the NFL was a massive, massive honor. So thankful for that. But WWE has been the thing that I've wanted my entire life, Dan.
Were you a position player before you became a punter?
No, I was a soccer player. I'd show up on Fridays. I just kind of walk in with the fans. The first game, I had no idea really how to put on my pads. I walked in with our student section because I had a soccer game before it. Walked across the field, had really no idea what was going on. Just started bombing balls like I was the guy Nigel from Replacements. I was very fortunate to grow up in Pittsburgh, a football town. So growing up, I played a lot of football on the streets and backyards and things like that. NFL was my favorite sport to watch, but I was supposed to be a soccer player. And then football just happened after a punt, pass, and kick national championship. And I happen to have a cannon attached to my right hip.
When did it change for you in this business? When did it click that you went from somebody who wanted to do it? You were doing stand-up comedy. Like you're trying to figure all this out after your career, but then it clicked. What changed?
I don't know, Dan. Honestly, I have no idea. I think when I was playing in the NFL, I was doing all this stuff. So I had a podcast when I was in the NFL. I did a one stand-up comedy tour with a couple other side shows while I was in the NFL. I had a merch business while I was in the NFL. I was very fortunate to do the Bob and Tom show weekly when I was in the NFL as well. So I kind of got a chance to dabble in a lot of different stuff while I was still playing. And when you're a punter, you're able to do that. You know, there's no addendums going into any punter contracts about watching more film outside of the facility. So with less mental management on the plate for me for being a punter, I was able to do a lot of stuff. And I just started getting real fulfillment from everything I was doing off the field. And I found out that there was a business side to it as well, that I can maybe make some money off the field as well. So once I kind of reset everybody's finances around my my family and friends, the NFL. I was super pumped to be there, but I knew that afterwards I was going to enjoy life as well. And I've obviously gotten incredibly lucky with this entire run thus far.
But I remember we had you on after you made your decision. That might've been the Houston Super Bowl. And you said you could still punt, but you were done. Like, how mentally do you get to the point where you go, I'm done with this?
I don't know. I mean, it's just like punting, like you said, whenever you're 12 years old, you think about punting. No, like even in college, I was a kicker first before I was a punter. I became a punter basically out of necessity, and we're doing the rugby punt, which was a roll out to the right, and I was just trying to line drive it as far as possible. We'd be in games, and I have nothing but respect for all the punters in the NFL. I love them. I put them over every single weekend because it's not an easy thing to do. It is a difficult thing to do. You don't really get a chance to bounce back either. If you have a bad rep, you got to go sit on that for like 35 minutes. But in the fourth quarter, you know, you're down 21. Like, a punter can't do anything. Like, I'm just standing there. I'm along for the ride, just like everybody else. In soccer, I was like a point man on basically every team I was on. Even when I was kicking at West Virginia and punting at West Virginia, I was at least in the game. It just got to a point where after 8 years, I got a chance to get really good at the craft. I got to learn a lot. I got to experience great teams and great teammates. And I understand the value of field position in the sport that I've watched my entire life and didn't really fully comprehend. But I just, my brain is super active every day. I'm sitting in there because there's not a lot of film for us to watch as punters. So I'm playing cornhole for like 3 hours in a locker room while everybody else is watching film and doing all that. And my brain is just running with like 1,000 ideas. Like, I should be doing this. I should be doing this. I could be doing this. I could be doing this. And you always think the grass is greener on the other side. You never truly know. So for like 3 years, I contemplated retiring and just kind of attacking life outside of football. And I don't think it was until, you know, kind of took care of everybody. You know, me and the GM didn't get along. He didn't think I was funny. I mean, that was very, pretty apparent. He did not enjoy me. I was staring down another knee surgery. It just felt like the universe was telling me, Dan, you know, and obviously it could have got to a point where the universe was completely wrong. And I still feel like I could probably go punt for a couple of teams if I wanted to. And that would probably last for at least another few years as I'm almost 40 now. I mean, I'm 35, but damn, I'm getting old, Dan. So I don't know. I felt like the universe told me the timing was right. And I got very fortunate with the team I had. I mean, it was the perfect timing, and I'm very, very fortunate for it all.
He's Pat McAfee, host of the Pat McAfee Show and former Colts punter. What was your reaction? I guess immediate reaction when you heard that Andrew Luck was going to retire.
So I was watching at home just like everybody else. Right. And I mean, that's what he comes out of nowhere. Fourth quarter preseason game. Oh, and then obviously the stadium, there's a couple hundred people in there still who have made it through a preseason game to the fourth quarter, one in which Andrew Luck was not playing, who is our franchise player. So maybe a little boozed up, we could assume, and they boo Andrew on his way out. And I think it was more so booing the situation, not Andrew, because I've never met anybody in Indianapolis that didn't have the utmost respect for Andrew Luck, because I got to see it firsthand. You know, that dude took an ass beating. I mean, just on a regular basis. And it was just his style of play. And he would thank everybody that hit him. And he never got too fired up with people that would obviously blatantly miss blocks for him to get hit. I've always said I thought he was too nice of a guy. The most talented person I think I've ever seen. His brain is so large. You have to use context clues just to kind of keep up with conversations with him, right? I'm an idiot, but that it really felt like that. He was so smart, so incredibly smart, so athletic. He was so good at quarterback. He understood the playbook quicker than anybody else. He had a photographic memory. He's fast. He's tough. He's all these things. I just think his style of play and him not being a mean enough person. Like, I always said, I wish he could watch Peyton for 1 year. If he could have watched Peyton, not that Peyton was mean, but Peyton demanded and commanded respect. And also, like, hey, this is a business. This is who I want to do business with. Andrew was still like, hey, I'm a high school college football player at the beginning. You do the coaching. You do the deciding. I'll do the playing. I wish he would have took a little bit more ownership, which I think he did towards the end of his career, which is a natural thing. But I was lucky to watch that guy. And my first reaction whenever he retired was, damn, the league is going to miss him because of how explosive and electrifying he was on the field.
The Kyler Murray story, you got Deshaun Watson's story. Like, how do you pick and choose what you dive into and what you don't on your show?
How do you guys do it, Dan? What do you guys do?
I find, and I ask the Danettes, I just say, what are you hot on? Because if we are hot on it, then I think you know, I can buy into it or vice versa. And then the audience is going to trust you because they tune in already trusting you. And I think that what I want to know is, what is something that's really important to somebody here? Because, if you know, we could go down the list and go, is anybody interested in that? Nah. How about that? Nah. Oh, that. And then the room reacts. And then I sort of take, I grab that. That's the baton. And then I take it. And then it's up to me to run the, you know, 4x400.
Well, and you do that very well, by the way. You run the hell out of the thing like a gazelle. But the I think that's the right move because you guys are so established in the OGs in this whole thing. You know, you guys are the trendsetters. So Rich Rodriguez gave a motivational speech to our team one time, and he said he wants a team full of thermostats, you know, not thermometers. You know, we set the temperature. We don't tell it. And it was like, it was so profound whenever he said it. And I assume we were getting, yelled at for it, but I found that to be like such a profound statement. And I think when we were starting, we were trying to look at what everybody else was talking about. You know, we were trying to watch every other sports talk show who we assumed had better scouts, better producers, more equipped to talk about what we should be talking about. And that lasted, I don't know, probably 4 months, 5 months. And then we got to the point where, much like you, we go, all right, what do we want to talk about? You know, and if our conversations are good, like if you build it, they will come is kind of the hopes.
Yeah.
But sometimes we miss some stuff that everybody else is chatting about strictly because we're either too dumb to talk about that particular thing or it literally never came up in our universe and we completely missed it.
Would you use steroids in the WWE to make your body look, you know, like Ultimate Warrior, like, you know, one of those. I mean, I can see you're kind of jacked.
Jacked. Thank you.
Kind of jacked. But, you know, but like an actor, you know, these guys in Hollywood, they'll use performance enhancing drugs. You're an actor with WWE. Would you consider, you're a performer, would you consider steroids?
So they have a whole wellness policy over at the WWE because of, I think, what you are alluding to, where there is, you know, they drug test rather often.
Really?
At the WWE. Yes, they actually do. Now, there's always going to be people that talk about some people maybe aren't getting tested. There's always conspiracy theories about everything. But I've been tested and given my blood to the WWE numerous times. So
now, this isn't part of your stand-up act. You're being serious, right? You're not
100% serious.
Okay.
100%, because it was, by the way, there was a lot of things that happen whenever you start injecting your body with stuff and people who are already maybe high energy or very emotional. And then there was some stuff that has happened through the evolution of human and the evolution of WWE where they have had to put in different rules and evolve, hopefully, you know. And I think the wellness policy is a big one because of all the things that you are kind of, I think, immediately thinking of. Now, with that being said, when I was in the NFL, and we'd see a guy walk into the locker room who was obviously on something that the rest of us would not take because of a failed test. There was an immediate chatter out of my brain like, well, as soon as I retire, I'm getting on whatever that guy is on. You know, I'm getting on whatever that person's on. And you'd see somebody come walking in just yoked out of their mind. I'm like, okay, so that's just what, you're just drinking protein shakes and stuff. And then I'm like, I'm going to get into that. So I think as I've grown older, I have found two things. Difficult to find in Indiana where I live. It's not just something you walk up to a corner store and say, hey, I'm looking to look like this guy that walked into the locker room when I was playing.
Yeah.
What do I need to take? And also, I think I'm starting to think more about life. You know, I thought I was going to die young for a long time. I was burning that thing from both ends real hard. I think it's well documented. I think everybody knows that. But now that I'm getting older, I'm trying to, you know, take care of myself a little bit. And I don't know if I just want to shove everything that horses take into their bodies into mine. But if science gets to a point where it's healthy and safe and it's not going to kill me too young, I will certainly take something that'll make my metabolism be a little bit quicker like it used to be, my recovery time a little bit. But I haven't dove into those waters just yet, Dan Patrick.
What does your wife say when she sees you on stage, you know, with, you know, kind of showing off your body?
Hey, my wife's sweet, man. We just celebrated our second anniversary yesterday. And thank you.
Paulie, you had the under.
Oh, I lost big.
Yeah.
Oh, you aren't the only one, pal. You aren't the only one. I think, you know, I've always, I don't know, man, I'm just a goer. I always have been, Dan. Just go, 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 go. And I rarely have any beef with anybody because I'm not around long enough to have beef with anybody. I'm normally just in and out. Here we go. What's next? What's next? I've been very driven my entire life, I think. Anybody that's ever known me would know that I've been trying to become successful literally forever. So I'm always thinking like, what's next? What are we doing? Hey, how are we doing? Let's keep it moving. And my wife is the first person that ever, like, I think tried to be like, hey, you're allowed to like hang out for a bit. Like you're allowed to, like, I'm not just going to let you just walk out of my life. Like this is, so she, I don't want to say she tamed, you know, the stallion here, but she kind of did. She kind of, and she's a super supportive person of me. She understands that I've had these dreams a lot longer than we've ever known each other. So she is fantastic. She is a great cook though. So every once in a while I'll get into good shape. I'll be like taking care of myself. And then I'll come home and there's just like these cinnamon rolls and like these chocolate chip cookies and all this stuff. And I have no discipline. I will dive in there, Dan. So it's a team effort. So I think she's pumped about it all.
Does she ever just say, shut up?
Oh, yeah. What are you talking about? I mean, I've been with me for 35 years. I say it to me all the time. I couldn't even imagine what she says. But yeah.
But you have a better body than Peyton Manning's. I think we could agree with that, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know. His body took him to a Hall of Fame. I think he's a...
Not his body of work, his body.
Well, I mean, his body is his tool. What are you talking about?
You no, see his those... mind, his mind.
Oh, yeah, but have you... those? Hey, those wobbly balls ain't going to throw themselves, man. What do you think this is? No, quarterbacks, I don't think... And it's kind of changing now with the evolution of offense and what quarterbacks can do. But back in the day, there was a lot of bad body quarterbacks, you know, and they actually
like who? Quarter,
all of them. You basically go through all of them bad body. I mean, because they wanted to keep their muscles loose, like a basketball shooter or a golfer. Like guys didn't want to get too yoked up because they thought they would mess up their throw. So now it's all of it's a little bit of a different game where guys got to take hits. And I think they're getting a little bit more yoked up. But I think Peyton had a solid body and a body of work, obviously.
Yes, he did. It's like Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger. He had big head syndrome.
Go through them all. Any of those pocket quarterbacks probably had a hilarious upper body. I mean, the lower body is going to be strong. Core probably going to have to be strong, right? Because there's a lot of that and, you know, throwing. But normally arms, chest, traps, neck, pretty relaxed. And that's normally how people are judging bodies or not. You know what I mean, Dan?
Give me double gunshot here before we go here. Let's see what we got here.
Let me wake him up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wait, Dan! It feels good, man. I'll tell you what. My knees are still sore, though. Knees still sore. I still gain like 25, 30 pounds and lose 25, 30 pounds like every 2-3 months when football season's coming around, just like I'm still playing. But I'm incredibly pumped about where life is, and I can't thank you all enough, honestly.
Hey, congrats. No.
For trailblazing in this world. And also, let's win it. Let's get you guys a damn Emmy. What are we doing? Paul, Fritz, Seton Boyce, what the hell is going on over there? How come these shows that are just Johnny come lately, okay? Johnny come lately, childish stuff are winning Emmys and you guys aren't. What is the deal?
We're the Buffalo Bills of Emmys.
No, you're not, because you guys have a kicker that's going to make the kick.
Oh.
And that happens every single time. I don't understand what the deal is. What, yeah. Is it because you're too handsome, Dan? You think it's because you're too handsome?
Oh, gosh. That's what they've told me that before. That, yeah. You're right. I mean, it's like, you know, you don't want to have a comedian who's good looking. You know?
Not relatable.
Yeah, right. See?
So you are too handsome for sports talk.
So. I think so.
Even though your show, how many years have you been doing this?
Well, we've been together 16 years since I left the mothership.
How have you done 16 off seasons? I just got through what, my third one? Oh my God.
There is no off season.
Yes, there is. Are you, I was trying to find out what I heard that a jury or a grand jury would indict a ham sandwich. That's what I was told. Okay. I'm trying to learn these legalese stuff. And then for 2-3 weeks, I'm talking about litigation. I have no idea about any. I don't know how you did it, Dan. You're too smart. I'm not smart enough for it all, pal.
Tell AJ I said hello. Congrats again. Great to talk to you, buddy.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always an honor. I will tell AJ, and I'm sure he says hi.
That's Pat McAfee, host of the Pat McAfee Show, co-hosted by AJ Hawk. You can find it on YouTube and Sirius XM. Whew, I need a break. We'll be back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
I'm George Reister, host of the Reister or Wrong podcast. This is the intersection where sports, business, society, and pop culture meet the truth. Absolute fire on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Facts only. Make sure you check your feelings at the door because no BS is allowed. We keep it 100. This is where real conversations happen. Listen to the Right or Wrong podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddy, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner, homie.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season. And guess what? So are we. Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a six-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last two decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's different ways for athletes to get into the media. And it happens quite frequently where I'll meet an athlete, a former athlete, and they'll say, how do I get to ESPN? Or how do I get my own podcast? How do I get my own radio show? The thing that I remember talking to Mike Golic about and Sean Salisbury was be available. Always be around at ESPN. Because there are so many shows and you get so many reps and you're not big name stars. Mark Schlereth. They were around constantly. Tim Hasselbeck. These aren't big names, but they're available. And if you're available, then you have a chance to show what you can do. Dan Orlovsky, classic example. He's known for one play in the NFL when he ran out of the end zone. But he has a great delivery. He studies. He cares. And he wants to have a formulated opinion. And he's made a name for himself. But sometimes the bigger the name, the less effort, the less time they put in. I saw this with coaches came through ESPN. Some studied, you know, Denny Green, Marty Schottenheimer, they put in the time. They really cared. Now, I don't want to mention those who didn't put in the time, but there were coaches, there were former players who came in, and they just tried to get by on name only. And it became obvious. I remember I was at a Super Bowl, and we had somebody on the set, and he showed up. He had nothing to say, which is hard to do at the Super Bowl. And then another analyst who was there said, here's some notes for you. We go on live on TV at the Super Bowl, and the analyst who didn't have anything just took the notes that the other analyst had and just made it seem like it was his. And you would have thought, wow, he did some real homework here. But priorities, you know, are you going to commit to it? How committed are you? And then you see somebody like Pat McAfee. Well, I mean, imagine you're a punter and a very good punter and you're in Indianapolis. How are you going to get famous? And I think he let us in on, hey, let's try to be like, instead of just, let's just be us. This is who we are. And that's why he's so successful, because they've created something that's unique. You know, we created something with the simulcast where you could watch a radio show, but you could watch it where there were 11 cameras in here and there was action. I could be on the golf simulator. I'd be shooting basketball. We could be cooking on the Traeger grills. There was always something going on. And I thought, let's take advantage of that. That's unique. That's different. And we created a man cave and be able to do that, which was different than anybody else. Now, there's a lot of imitators, but I take that as a compliment, trying to maybe match what we have, but you can't. You know, now you have people who want to have Danettes. They want to have their own kind of studio audience. They're not going to match what we have, but we've been together for 20 years for the most part. So we know each other. And that helps when it comes to the comfort level with our listeners. But McAfee has done almost the impossible. WWE, his show on YouTube, sponsorship, done extremely well. At an age 35, that's pretty impressive. Final hour coming up. Rich Eisen on loan from the NFL Network will join us.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff.
Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.